Sunday.
It's Sunday morning.
I love mornings.
The games are over, and we're breaking it all down. This is your Morning After podcast with all the insight and analysis on the Utes, Cougars, and Aggies. Presented by UCCU. Love where you bank. The Morning After podcast with Hans, Scotty, and Lloyd Cole begins right now.
And you gave us an opportunity to come in here and show what we're made of.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's another edition of the Morning After podcast. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Lloyd Cole, as we join Hans live from the, Philadelphia airport? Is that where you're at, Hans?
That's right. Actually, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, that's right. Sorry, my bad. That's right.
Yep, Pittsburgh airport, just waiting for my flight out to Atlanta, and then I think we go Atlanta to Illinois, and then we go from Illinois, I think we have a layover in Denver, and then from Denver, I think we lay over in Laramie, and then I think we're taking a bus from Laramie back to Salt Lake, so I should be back just before noon on Monday.
Look, I always say we're not digging ditches here, but it's a bit of a grind. Like last couple of days, I had a basketball game on Friday night in Logan, drove back home, then I had a 6 a.m. flight to San Diego. Called the game last night against San Diego State, and then turned around. We had a flight from San Diego back home here to Logan, then drove back home. Walked in the door about 3 a.m. But hey, fortunately, I picked up an hour with daylight savings, so we'll take it. But yeah, I mean,
that's a win.
It's something for sure. All right, so let's get to it. Let's talk about this BYU game before we get to the Utah game. Lloyd will join us coming up here in just a moment. But Hans, full disclosure, because of the San Diego State game that I called with Utah State, I got in. I've not had a chance to watch it. I've seen the score. I saw a little bit of the highlights, but kind of lay it out for me, man. What happened?
It was a brutal beating. A brutal beating. And both sides, the offensive and defensive lines, just beat up, specific spots more than others. But it was tough. BYU showed up to this game without Paul Miley, and they replaced him with Caleb Etienne. And I felt like Caleb at the guard position had one of his worst games as a BYU Cougar. I felt like the defensive line, after weeks of really holding down the middle and holding down good running backs, I felt like the defensive line really got moved and got washed, and they got washed laterally. They didn't really get pushed vertical as much, but they just got washed and opening up gaps on the backside. And it felt like West Virginia could have ran all day. They went over 300 yards rushing, Scotty.
Yeah.
And you took on Jonathan Brooks last week, and you had Taj Brooks the week before, and you had Devin Neal. You got some of the best running backs that you've faced in the country, and those guys didn't gash you like West Virginia did. So the defense was allowing themselves to be blocked. They were catching blocks instead of putting their hands in chest and defeating blocks. The second line of defense, which is typically really good, was getting locked up. Safeties were slow to spots. When they got to spots, they were getting bumped or walled, and West Virginia had their way offensively. And then BYU is just depleted. They got washed defensively, beat up defensively. And then BYU is just depleted offensively. It's crazy, Scotty, because they come into this game with no Keanu Hill, and Chase Roberts was banged up, but he tried to go, and then he gets knocked out in the first quarter, and Cody Epps got knocked out in the first quarter. And, you're getting down to JoJo and guys that you just haven't seen at all. And you're putting a lot of weight on Parker Kingston, and you've got a new quarterback. They started they started Jake Retzlaff and they sat Keaton Slovis, and man, it just, this was the most brutal loss that I've called for BYU so far. It just from every angle, they were out physicaled, and that's a tough thing to say.
Yeah.
West Virginia just beat them up, Scotty. Beat them up.
You know, and that's the thing that surprises me here, but it doesn't surprise me that BYU lost this game. I mean, we felt like BYU had a great chance, but certainly the odds were in West Virginia's favor. And so it doesn't surprise me they lost. I was surprised that it was bully ball, though. I'm surprised that they got bullied, gave up 300 yards of rushing, got dominated at the line of scrimmage. That's what surprises me about this one.
Yeah, it does me too. It really does me too. I didn't expect West Virginia to punch him in the mouth, but man, they hit a tempo offense and gosh, they just were walling and catching and moving and dominating. I won't name the guy, but their left West Virginia's left guard, he pulled around on just a simple run and he picked up a BYU safety. And it's one of the most brutal hits and blocks that I've seen. And then he did the whole belly splash where he belly splashed on the belly and rolled his belly and quads all the way up the helmet and the face mask and threw knees down on his chin. And it was like, oh no, it was so bad. And then Scotty, like every break, every moment that BYU had, that was like, oh, there it is, there it is. Like, for instance, Parker Kingston catches a really nice, I believe it was a seam, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was just a skinny post. And he catches it. It was a really nice throw by Jake Retzlaff, put it right on him. And he's scooting up the field and he gets inside the 20. And it's like, there you go, Parker, you're doing it. And then he gets tackled and fumbles. And you're like, what? Oh, no, no. It was like the first moment that they had, like, of any excitement. So then they come out of half and it's 27-0. And it's like, all right, it was funny because I said to Greg, you know, Greg, you got to start somewhere. And Greg goes, the journey to 27 starts now. I'm trying to remember who received it in the end zone. Anyways, kick return falls into the hands of the returner. He hits the edge. It was a lofted kick way up high. I think he filled it about the 15 or so. It was Keelan Marion. Filled it at the 15. And three beautiful seal blocks along the side. And Scotty, he scoots up the side, and he hits the side, and then he hits the middle of the field, and it's a touchdown. And Greg's like, look at this, the journey to 27. And we're like, yes, that's a really great moment. And there was a flag that was buried back by the end zone, that a holding call that nobody saw. In fact, they were lined up to kick the extra point.
Oh boy.
And then it's like, oh, there's a holding. And so, you bring that back. And, you know, there were two late hits on the quarterback where he was trying to slide that pushed them up into the 30 and 25 yard lines of BYU. And it was like, not only were they getting out physical, they were getting beat. And, you know, Scotty, I'm sure BYU fans are getting really tired. Like, it's fine. Okay, be out physical and be outmatched at times. But don't have these unacceptable moments. So first offensive possession, offense comes out on the field. And, you know, it's on the kick return. You get out to the whatever, the 25. And they're huddled up, and you're waiting for this offense to go, and they're not getting to the line, and all of a sudden, here comes the flag, and it's a layup game to start the game.
Oh,
first offensive possession. And it's like, what? No, no. That's bull crap.
Yeah.
That's bull crap. I'm so tired of the bull crap stuff that is 100% preventable. You can't have those moments. And so those things need to get fixed. I think that you got to figure out what you're going to do with the offensive line at the guard position with Caleb Etienne. Hopefully Paul Miley's back. I did feel like Kingsley Suamata'ea played a pretty good game. I felt like Waylon Lapu'aho played a pretty good game. Connor Pay just wasn't getting the help from the guard position. Backside tackle we thought was okay, but man, there was so much penetration. There were three sacks. I mean, and Retzlaff wasn't exactly sitting on the football. I mean, he wasn't gunning it out a lot of times, but he wasn't sitting on it. So frustrating, really, Scotty, all around.
What was your impression of Retzlaff in his first go as a BYU quarterback?
I think he's going to be pretty good. I was, you know, out of all the things.
He's the future, right? Unless they find somebody else.
Oh, the future of this season?
Well, yes, the future of this season and maybe next, unless they find somebody else.
I wouldn't say next. I would say probably he's probably this season's future, but I don't know how much I could really rely on him to hold things down through next year. I think he's got some size limitations. But you know what, Lloyd? I thought that there were some moments. Like there were some – he throws the seam a lot better than Slovis. He's got better arm strength than Slovis. Slovis's arm, I think, has been jacked since the Kansas game. He took a shot in the shoulder. So I think he's been playing with a limp noodle. And I thought Retzlaff was a little bit more dialed in, a little bit more strict on the throw. Throws the seam so much better, and that's my favorite route. And Slovis just couldn't hit that and didn't throw it a lot. But I think he's the future for this season. So Scotty, I think Retzlaff can take you to one more win in the next three games. So this outplay is out. Iowa State at home, Oklahoma at home, Oklahoma State that just beat Oklahoma. That one's on the road. So you got to find one win in those three games to get to that 6-6 mark that we all projected to start the season. You know, we were all in that 7-5, 6-6, and they're right there. I mean, that's a reachable goal.
Lloyd Cole joins us now. Let's transition to the Utah game because, Hans, we got to burn through this quick because I know you got to catch a flight. But, Lloyd, Utah, we all thought it was going to be a low scoring. We thought it was going to be a dogfight. We thought that it'd be a 17-14, 17-10 kind of game. Take the under in this game. No. Take the over and take the Utes scoring 50-plus. What a game yesterday for the Utes.
Yeah, so of course it wasn't, since that's what we thought. And talk about, you know, Kyle Whittingham and, you know, the whole team talked about not letting a team, you know, beat you twice in Oregon in that loss that they had. And they came out on fire. I mean, Barnes started the game 5 of 5 and with a touchdown, finishing it off with a touchdown to Von Vele. I mean, he had a career day with, you know, 4 total touchdowns. You know, there, to be honest with you, offensively and defensively, there wasn't anything that didn't work for them. I mean, the RPO worked great for him. I mean, he had like 60 something yards, you know, running. He was making the right decisions, which, you know, the RPO hasn't always been his strong suit. Sometimes in the season, especially, we saw him making the wrong decisions with that RPO. And, you know, the offensive line opened up holes and that defense, I mean, they got you saw a lot of Jacob Conover because Borgay was out, but within, I think it was the second drive is what they rolled up on. Jonah Ellis came around, got around and kind of rolled up on Borgay. And so he was done pretty much for the game. So, I mean, that defense, talk about. They only had one turnover. I mean, by the way, if I told you the Utes were going to score 55 points, you would think, you know, the numbers were going to be outrageous. But Barnes would, only had 100.
I would think there was a defensive score, and I would think there was a special team score. If 55, yeah. Was there no scores either way?
No scores either way. That was all offensive. You got four passing touchdowns from Bryson Barnes. You had Jaquinnon Jackson, who had a touchdown himself. Nate Johnson even came in and had a 59-yarder. He had a touchdown. You had a touchdown from Charlie Vincent even. So, and then, of course, you had Landon King with a touchdown, Maneer McClain with a touchdown, which you're gonna want to see the touchdown pass that he passed to him because it was a great pass by Barnes. But that was, yeah, you would think there's probably a defensive touchdown in there somewhere or a special teams, and there was not. That was all, you know, offense.
I did catch a couple of highlights on Jaquindon Jackson. He looked a little bit more healthy. At least he had a nice breakaway run. Did he look healthy, a little more healthy through the length of the game, or was it just the highlights?
He was until, until that long touchdown run, and it looked like they may have come down on the ankle again because they had he limped off the field. The team had to pick him up and kind of – yeah, so it's every game, man. He's limping off every single game. But guess what? He'll ice up and get a little treatment. I would imagine he'll be back in there on Saturday.
Hey, what was Sione Vaki's usage?
Try like zero. He didn't touch the ball once on offense, and he didn't really need to be honest with you. I mean, they rushed for 352 yards. They had eight different rushers, and he was not one of them. Didn't have a single rush. Like, here's a stat for you, Hans. 513 total yards to 83 total yards.
83.
That defense was suffocating.
Somebody on Twitter went back all the way, and he goes, it has not happened since, I think they went back to like 1990, that they could not, and they still haven't found anybody, any game where there was a team that went for over 500 yards and their defense held the opponent to under 100 yards. And so it's probably happened, but some statistician out there couldn't find it.
I saw a number for BYU yesterday, guys. BYU currently is trending to not get to 1,000 yards rushing for the season.
Jeez.
And that has not happened since 1942, I believe it was, and they played seven games that year. So, yeah.
And to think, by the way, Utah, in two of their games, because I think they had another 300-plus yard rushing game maybe against USC or something like that. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember but they have almost 700 yards in two games of theirs. Because I want to say the rushing yards was pretty similar. So, yeah, they had 352 just in this one, and then I think they had 300-something in another one. So, yeah. Almost 700 in two.
Arizona State, 40 yards passing, 43 yards rushing. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. And, domination.
And it was nice to see what Utah did just from a defensive standpoint. Look, Arizona State – they're not good, and they're going to struggle the rest of the year, and they don't have a good record. But they have shown defensively, Hans, some good things this year. I mean, defensively, they've looked good at times. And to have Utah just run roughshod right over the top of them, and, we talk about bully ball with West Virginia, but for Utah to play bully ball against a pretty good Arizona State defense, that's a really good sign of this Utah offense being able to, and I think playing backwards, I mean, that's an old Jerry Sloan line and not being beat twice, to be able to shake off that loss to Oregon and say, no, we're going to take it out on these guys. That's really cool to see from Kyle Whittingham's team.
Oh, I'm sorry if I missed either you or Lloyd mentioning this, but Arizona State, you're just talking about it. Defensively, we talked about this through the week. They're number 19 in the country in rushing defense. They've only allowed 104 yards per game. So it's like Arizona State was completely inept defensively. They're number 40 in the country. They only allow 340 yards a game. So they're in at the top quarter of college football defensively right now. They're also a team that gets a lot of TFLs. They racked up 6.5 per game. They put up 51 TFLs so far in the season. They're a really good red zone offense. They've got a really good touchdown ratio. Like, this is not a complete trash team, And so to have that kind of whooping and have it come from multiple rushers and Bryson Barnes, I don't know, Lloyd. Like, what do you even draw from a win like this? And does this all of a sudden put them as a team that could potentially beat Washington?
I you know what? I would say yes. I think Arizona State kind of, because I think Washington is. I mean, they put a lot of points up on USC last night, and of course, who doesn't? I think Washington, I mean, I think what this shows is that, I mean, Utah is a really, really good team. It doesn't matter. Like, a team that you go out and it just shows you also, it shows you how good Oregon really is. Oregon is just the next level team.
Yeah.
Oregon is that good, but Utah is right there. We know what they're missing. I mean, they're down to their, you know, fourth string quarterback as well. And, you know, that can't be mentioned enough. Like they're banged up. Like and it shows their depth. By the way, our guy, Smith Snowden got a ton of time. He got quite a bit of time.
Good for him.
He made some plays. He got quite a bit of time. He was definitely a talking point in the post game, amongst the beat writers and stuff, as far as talking to Whittingham about him.
Did they play him in nickel or they played him outside?
I believe it was nickel.
Okay. Good for them.
But
good for Smith.
But he got a bunch of time, and no, I just think this team is really good, and I hate to look to next year because, you know, they already have two losses, but I'm telling you, the next year they are going to be, because they return so much.
Yeah,
like they are going to be. I mean, the question mark is going to be quarterback, obviously, but man, this team is good, and they should. Next, you expect some fireworks against Washington. I think, like I said, Arizona State, I think they might have put a little bit of a blueprint out there. I mean, it's going to be – Penix hasn't seen a defense like Utah's.
Well, and that's –
even with everything that Utah is missing on defense, he hasn't seen it.
Well, we keep talking about it, too, in terms of, well, you know, Penix and that Washington offense, and we keep hyping up that offense, and for good reason. I mean, they're good, but I think you hit it on the head, Lloyd. Like – as good as Washington is offensively, USC just ran right through that Washington defense. Now, granted, they were able to get the victory. What was it, 52-42, I think the final was in that thing.
Yep.
They haven't seen a defense like what Utah brings to the table. And I know they're down a couple players, but I'm with you. I think if you're just naturally, as a Utah fan or somebody who's just looking at Utah and say, well, that's going to be an L against Washington, I wouldn't be so quick to do that. I think this Utah team's super resilient. That defense is going to come ready to go. I think we got a game on our hands, and I still believe Oregon's a better team than Washington. I know they lost a head-to-head, but neutral site, I'm still taking Oregon in between those two teams, and I think Utah's got a really good chance in this game.
Hey, Lloyd, what was the sack totals for four. Utah?
And you had four total sacks. You had Jonah Ellis with 1.5. I know already. Sorry, I was looking at the other one. You had Lavani DeMooney with 0.5 sack, and you had Connor O'Toole with 1 sack. And
Vamahi's got one, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Vamahi had one as well.
Oh, Viamahi. Oh, good. Right up the middle, huh?
Connor Twitch, he's just a beast, man. The guy's so good.
Yeah, I love him. And I wish he would have been healthy all year long.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that would have made a difference. I mean, that's the only frustrating point about this Utah team is if this was a healthy team with Cam and everybody, it's a playoff team. It really is.
No way with what they have, by the way. They should not have 7 wins. You wouldn't think so. You would think a team, any other team. I mean, you take Bo Nix, Bo Nix off of Oregon, or Penix off of Washington. They are not anywhere near. They're probably below 500.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's pretty incredible what they've done. Patchwork with Barnes. You know, look, Barnes flatlined against Oregon, but Oregon was an insane defense, and they were hungry like dogs. Yeah. And if Washington gets hungry, maybe they make Barnes' life miserable. But I think that Andy Ludwig has done a really good job of managing what Barnes does. And then I got to give big props to that Utah offensive line, man, because they've had to make a lot of different changes. You know, they made a center move. They made an offensive tackle move. They've had a couple of different injuries here and there that they've had to kind of rotate. And it sounds to me, you know, 55 points and that many rushing yards, it sounds to me like that offensive line dominated that Arizona State defensive front then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It did.
And by the way, I am going to go back. I'll watch this whole game. Utah fans, I'll get some film review out to you and show you some of the points and take a look at a couple of those sacks and see where Utah really excelled. And then, as Scotty mentioned, and Scotty Lloyd and myself, we'll really get busy on this Utah-Washington matchup that's coming up. That's going to be a big one, but Utah's got a few opportunities throughout this year to prove even more points. And you're not completely out of the Pac-12 conversation yet, right, guys? I mean, there's still...
I mean, technically, no. Mathematically, you're still in it, but it's a tough hill to climb.
Yeah, you probably needed USC to possibly pull off a win over Washington. Yeah. I think that was what probably really needed to happen.
It's that freaking Oregon State loss, man. I'm telling you, that thing that hangs on you like a bad decision when you're in high school, you know? like the couple that Lloyd's made, you know, like that just hang with you forever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's like,
I'm still making bad decisions.
It's like peeing on a building in a.
I wasn't saying anything.
Man, what are we doing here? Get on your flight. What do you got? What are you doing? It's just railroad me.
Hey, Scotty. Let's talk about this. I want to talk about Utah State.
Oh man, that was as crazy a game as I've called in a long time. That was insane. Utah State gets it done, knocking off San Diego State, double overtime, 32-24. And look, we'll talk to Blake Anderson coming up on Tuesday. This is an interesting situation brewing because San Diego State has not been a particularly good team this year. They fall to 3-7 or 3-6 with the loss yesterday, but both those teams needed that game to get to on a path to bowl eligibility. And Utah State's down 7-3 at halftime, and the offense just isn't clicking. Defense is playing really well, but offense isn't clicking. And then early in the third quarter, McKay Hillstead, who got the start, got rolled up on an ankle on a quarterback draw. And he steps out, and Cooper Legault comes in, and guess what? Cooper gets them humming offensively. They go up 17-7 about midway through the fourth quarter, but then San Diego State gets a touchdown, and then Utah State trying to play that four-minute offense hands to try to, you know, hold the ball, keep it away from San Diego State. They get to San Diego State's 40-yard line. They're forced to punt, and the punter drops the snap. And tries to punt it away. And anyway, San Diego State gets it with great field position after that. They go down, they kick a field goal, send it into overtime. The Aztecs score the first touchdown, and then Cooper Legault throws a strike to Terrell Vaughn to send it to the second overtime. Utah State gets the ball to start the second overtime, goes down, scores a touchdown, runs a fly sweep to Jalen Royals, who then throws it to the tight end for the 2-point conversion because you have to go for two in the second overtime. Just the craziest play. So the Aggies are up 8, and then Ike Larson seals it as San Diego State has to go for it on 4th-and-4, and Ike Larson gets the interception and seals it. And Utah State gets out
in
of
the
there
double overtime.
In the double overtime, 32-24. Ike Larson played a hell of a game, by the way.
What the hell just happened?
Hey, walk me through that 2-point conversion. So you go fly sweep motion. Was the tight end in a split out? Was it connected? Did he roll out flat?
I believe he was connected. And they run the fly sweep. He goes out and runs kind of an out route, and he has to throw this lollipop pass. And Brock Lane, who is one of the more underrated players in the state of Utah, has to sky up. He's double teamed, but he just high points it above everybody and brings it in. I'll see if I can find a highlight and send it to you. But it was it's podcast. It was a ballsy call on the 2-point conversion, but he brings it in and gets the 2-point conversion. It was a really cool play. And so Utah State's up 8, but Ike Larson, and I talked to him a little bit after the game. He was on our post game show, but they ran San Diego State ran a fly sweep on, I want to say it was like 2nd-and-7, something like that. And it looks like this guy's going to break it. And Ike Larson comes from across the field like a freaking speeding bullet and tackles him for a 2-yard gain when it looked like if he doesn't make that tackle, they certainly get the first down and they may score on the play. But Ike just comes like a speeding bullet, rips this dude down on the fly sweep from across the field And it, that was as big a play as the interception that ended up sealing it. Because if he doesn't make that tackle, San Diego State gets the first down, at least, if not scores on the play. And then two plays later, he ends up getting the interception. They tried to throw a quick shot to the sideline, and he jumped the route, intercepted it, and ended the game. But it was a crazy game. And Utah State, and look, you look at Utah State's schedule. They've got Nevada next week, which they'll be heavily favored in at home. Then they've got Boise State, who lost to Fresno State. And, you know, look, Boise's still Boise. So, you know, you can't pencil that in as a W, but Utah State should be competitive. And then they end the game against, end the season on the road against New Mexico, another team they'll be heavily favored in. So you have to win two out of those three, but two of them you'll be heavily favored in to get to bowl eligibility. And they might just get there. And considering how the season's gone and the injuries and the transfer portal issues they had before the season, they get to 6-6 and get to a bowl game. You got to consider that a massive success with what they've dealt with quarterback issues. But circling back to Cooper Legault, Cooper Legault's really put Blake Anderson in a really tight spot, because I don't know how you go back to McKay Hillstead. And it's nothing that McKay did wrong. Like, McKay just got hurt.
I mean, he was 12 of 16, by the way.
Yeah.
He was 12 of 16, got banged up. But the offense just looked different with Cooper.
Yeah. And so if you're Blake Anderson, it's like, you know, like, I don't know how you go back to McKay. Again, nothing against McKay. It's just, this, you know, every time Cooper Legault hands goes out on the field, the guy just wins games. It may not look pretty. It may not be the most aesthetically pleasing, but he just, he's a gamer, man. And you know, those wrestlers just find a way to get it done.
They do. They're so, they're such tough-minded, tough style. It's hard to break them mentally. And I that's a crazy situation that Blake finds himself in right now. We'll be talking to Blake on Tuesday. Obviously, this will be a point of conversation. And Blake's very open. It'll be nice to catch up with him there. But, okay, so, Lloyd, who is more likely to be bowl eligible? Utah State with the schedule Scotty just mentioned needing to find 2 and 3, or BYU with Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State needing to find 1?
Dang. What are you doing?
That's a good question.
I think it feels like sixes. It really feels like sixes.
It feels like sixes, but I think it's Utah State. I mean, Utah State should beat New Mexico, and Utah State really should beat Boise State. They really should. BYU will not be favored.
That's a hard one.
BYU will not be favored in any of their final three games. They won't.
They just need one. And you think that, you know, that coaching staff can put together some sort of – I know you have to have the players, but you think that coaching staff can put some together. It's one of, like, one of those games. Still waiting for one, like, one of those games. You're like, wow. And then maybe they already used up that game, but where it's like, oh, they definitely shouldn't have gotten that one, but they did. You know what I'm saying? Did BYU already kind of use that, or is that is that still yet to be had? Where you thought they really had no shot, and they somehow pulled, because it seems like Kalani and his staff always pull one of those out.
Yeah, they do, Lloyd, and maybe it's Iowa State. You know, maybe that happens. Maybe that happens, but if it is, it's going to be Iowa State.
Yeah, it's got to be Iowa State.
You know, Oklahoma at home.
Yeah, not happening against Oklahoma.
I don't think so. Oklahoma State beat them yesterday, but finishing it in Stillwater, I don't think you're going to get that one, because Oklahoma State's playing really well. So that's why I asked the question. I mean, I don't know what you think, Scotty, but I kind of feel like at this point, at least Utah State's going to be favored. You know, they'll probably be favored in that New Mexico.
They'll be favored against Nevada and New Mexico, maybe not against Boise, but yeah, those are two games. Utah State should win two out of those three.
You know, here's the deal.
I think you're right, Hans. I think it is Utah State that's more likely.
I think just edged by just a little bit. But think about it, man. If they both get bowl eligible, they're right on track with what we had them in the preseason.
Yeah.
And they really have become and are the teams we thought they would be. But the thing is, they have fought through more adversity than we thought they would.
Yeah.
They've gone through more as a team with crazy storylines than I think we thought that they would. So the 6-6 would be even more impressive. If they go 6-6, I think we have to kind of look at both Kalani and Blake and say, all right, you got there. But the problem is if Kalani finishes out with 3 losses and if they look ugly like they have, guys, this is so unlike Aaron Roderick. And maybe Retzloff saves it. Maybe he doesn't, but I got to go, boys.
All right. Go get on that plane, Hans. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
That's commitment right there.
Yep. That's grinding right there, folks.
You want to know what grinding looks like? That's what it looks like.
All right. Hans Olsen, by the way, getting home at 3 a.m. last night from San Diego. Oof.
Yeah. How you feeling, Chief?
Well, I was telling Hans, had the basketball game on Friday night. Then had a 7 a.m. flight to San Diego yesterday morning. Got in, got to the hotel, did a little bit more prep, took the bus over to the game, called the game, got home at 3 a.m. Not much left with the voice.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, your November grind is real.
November is always something, man. It's always something.
November is, man. When basketball gets in there, it's like, I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm telling you, much respect, Scotty.
Hey, I know we're not digging ditches.
Yeah, I know. But I'm telling you what, all the different travel and, going basketball, football. Like, I mean, do you ever somehow slip back into your football call? Like,
it's
two different sports. So
all the
I don't
time.
Know. Like, there's different flows to the games.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
November's always a fun one, man. We're going to get there, though.
What do you got planned for today? Got you cooking up anything? What do you got with the family?
You know what? I think we are going to maybe do it just something simple. I think we're going to do up some steaks.
I've been craving
some steaks. I think we're going to do up some. Yesterday, we did some ribs. So we had the game, because we had so much going on the station, we had the Cougar pre-game show going three to four. And we didn't know exactly. And we put the Utah post-game starting at 4. And so I came home and watched it because I knew I had some time to get back following the game. And so we did up some, wings.
Oh, nice.
Some wings with a kind of a sweet, spicy type sauce, and it was it turned out good. So we had some wings to kind of watch the games. So, but that was a fun night of football last night. It was going back and forth between your game and the Washington game. And by the way, I didn't get to bring this up when we were talking about, but that I didn't think that Cooper Laga pass was ever going to get there to Vaughn.
I'd say
that dude put some air under that thing. I was like, that's not getting there.
It's funny.
I'm like that. That he was so open, and then all of a sudden I'm like, he is not open.
I was talking to Coach about that on our post game. I'm like, how long did that thing feel like it was in the air? He's like, I didn't think it was going to come down. I was like, almost the point where I thought like Terrell Vaughn was going to fair catch it because it just sat there in the air forever.
thing was like a punt. I was like, oh dude, that's not getting there.
And the thing is, with the edge rusher coming around the side, Cooper had to put some air onto it or else the guy was going to bat it down. So I understand why it had to happen. It wasn't on Coop, but boy, that thing just hung up there forever. You're like, get down, come on, come on, come on. Cause the dude was wide open. Crazy game.
Yeah. Fun game. What do you got going on? You making another salt shaker or a little pepper shaker?
I feel like
what
you're
you cooking.
I feel
where
like,
you at? What you cooking?
I feel like you're making fun of me with my pepper grinder.
I'm not, dude. You kidding me?
I
want one of those pepper shakers. It's freaking awesome.
And the problem is, here I am just trying to prepare for games, and then I get stuck out in my shop, and I start wasting time and put together a weird little pepper shaker. I thought it turned out really cool. I was pretty proud of that thing. I'll bring it in.
It did. You should be proud.
Take a look at it. I'm going to do smash burgers today.
Okay.
Get the flat top out. Jenny and the crew bought some hamburgers.
Get me a flat top.
And so, yeah, we're going to go old school smash burgers, which are just on a flat top. You can't beat them. You just can't beat them. They're awesome. So, all right. Well,
attaboy.
We've gone
put up those pictures.
We've gone way too long. Everybody, thanks for listening. It's your Morning After podcast. We'll get it going again tomorrow at noon. You'll hear from Kalani Sitake. You'll hear from Kyle Whittingham. We'll recap the weekend. We'll have to take a deeper dive. I have not had a chance to really look much at that BYU game, so I'll go through the film and take a look at what went wrong for BYU, and we'll get after it coming up tomorrow on the show beginning at noon. Of course, your Morning After podcast brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Tell you what, a lot to break down, and we got a full day of NFL today to really get after it. Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard, Lloyd Cullet, your Morning After podcast right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This has been your Morning After podcast with Hans, Scotty, and Lloyd Cole, presented by UCCU. Love where you bank. Catch more of the Hans and Scotty Show weekdays from noon to 3, and in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your podcasting platform of choice. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.